I can open with a joke or a prayer. Is Scott here today? I miss Scott and his jokes. Is he doing his medical thing yet? I don't know. How many dogs does it take to change a light bulb? We had a golden retriever, so I'm going to pick. There's a whole bunch of choices of breeds of dogs. I pick golden retriever. The golden retriever's answer is the sun is shining. The day is young. We have our whole lives ahead of us. And you're inside worrying about a stupid burned out light bulb? There's also a cat answer. We used to have cats, short-term and long-term cats. The cat's answer, dogs do not change light bulbs. People change light bulbs. So the real question is, how long will it be before I can expect some light, some dinner, and a massage? Which proves once again that dogs have masters and cats have staff. That's to Scott. So, I guess I have the clicker. This is cool. Look, I got the pointer too, not in your eyes. Where's the cat? So, about unity, and I click. And Unity Center of Spiritual Growth was formerly been known as Unity Church of North Idaho and many other names. And if you've been around a while, sometimes you have to look at the sign out front and see if they changed it in on you. We have our own identity and we evolve and transform, change over time. Our names change, our leadership changes, our membership changes, but there are some constants. We're positive, practical, progressive approach, like Amber was reading about, based on the teachings of Jesus and the power of prayer. We strive to honor all churches. We use lessons from other churches, including Jewish, Hindu, Buddhist, Muslim, Sufi, Native American, and others as well. We used to have this Wings of Song songbook under all the chairs. And I really liked one. There's blessings for a church. I'm not going to take the time to read that. And our mission, our vision, our core beliefs, our core values. And one of the core values that really got my attention was we respect the many paths that lead to God. So from there, I will go to another thing after a minute about from there. Now I'm going to go click, click. We've had many past leaders in the church. From Amber, I could read them all. From Amber to Dennis Ackley, to Steve Tolles, to Gaia Swinford, to Michael Moran. I don't think I can read them all. Deidre, John Considine, Deidre Ashmore, John, Barry Vinard, Marilyn Muehlbach. Now we're going back before my time here. I was here since Marilyn. Chuck, and some of these I got from Virginia. Some of these names I got from Chuck Hancock, Julie Keene, Alice Dirksen, Hazel Rowell, and Bernie Hibbard. Bernie Hibbert, or it was in Roberta Hibbert. Meetings were in her home before they started meeting at the Little Red Church. Is that correct? Maybe. Before they started meeting at the Little Red Church, they were in her home. Correct. Yes. Okay. All right. So we've had many other leaders, anything from music leaders to musicians to teachers to youth education staff to office staff, to technical staff, to ground staff, and I'm probably leaving people out. Board members, I'm just going to say thank you. We wouldn't be here without you. We're standing on your shoulders. Hopefully, I don't leave any bruises on you. click, click. Oh, Steve Tolles confirmed many of these names. He said he believes the church, Unity Church of North Idaho, Unity Church in Coeur d'Alene, was started in 1981. He says we have to go to the charter to confirm that. Anybody else know who might know? 1981, the start of Unity Church in Coeur d'Alene. He's supposed to be here later in June, Steve Tolles, maybe on June 22nd if things work out. He's under treatment for a medical condition right now. It's if you want to go into details, you can go into Facebook and find out about his medical condition. I've talked to him on the phone, and he says he goes on the table for treatment, and he says, the light of God radiates from me. So hopefully he'll be here to tell his own story. Community, the unity of the community of unity, this is a community, is like family to me. Here and now, as we look around, as we can look left and we look right, we look in front of us, we look behind us, there's here and now and also community and family over time. Time, the fourth dimension. I had to confirm with my friend, the nuclear scientist Jim Sullenberger, that time is the fourth dimension. If you need to consult with a nuclear scientist, he's writing back. No? I got it wrong? Shaking his head. Shut up, Dad, and move on. Unity Church has lineage. Unity Village is in Missouri. If you ever get a chance to go there, it's quite a cool place. Goes back to the Church of Truth, Myrtle and Charles Fillmore. There's a lot of history that our church has, and then the Church of Truth and Christianity and the Jewish faith and all of these other faiths. Thank you. Memorial Day, it's a federal holiday honoring and mourning the U.S. military personnel who died while serving in the United States Armed Forces. So if any of you have had a family member who've served and who died in the armed forces while serving, if you're willing to stand, thank you. Stay standing. Stay standing. Any of you who have served in the military and are here today, keep standing. Keep. Who have served, thank you for your service. We will not forget. For any of you who have had a family member who served or were wounded in body, heart, or spirit in the military, please stand. Well, that's a little bit open. Great. Thank you very much. We appreciate you. Happy Memorial Day. I was also asking it sort of a joke, but what about boot camp? Is it possible? You may have been wounded in body, mind, or spirit in boot camp. You survived boot camp. You still have PTSD. Yeah. Thank you for your service. My family has military heritage. My maternal grandfather, Alan Pitt Johnson, he was in the U.S. Army. He served in both World War I and World War II. We've been searching to figure out what he did in the Army. We haven't been able to figure that out yet. His marker is in the cemetery in Spokane. And so probably tomorrow I'll go there and put flowers on his marker along with my grandmother, maternal grandmother. Is that down and out of the way? These are my maternal grandparents. Whoa, sorry, Grandpa. Alan Pitt Johnson. He died in 1956. I was born in 1955. I don't have proof that we met. I don't have any pictures. I don't have any stories. I've got nobody left to confirm. I hope we met. So thank you, Grandpa. And supportive family. I mean, the soldiers and sailors, Marines, needed the support of their families and communities as well. So thank you, Grandma. Thank you, Grandpa. This is my mom. She was in the Navy. She met my dad in the Navy. She was his secretary. I don't think they were supposed to do that. This is my dad, Captain John William Neal. He went to Annapolis. He retired as a captain in the Navy. He was at the bombing of Pearl Harbor. I'm grateful he was my dad. I'm grateful he was home mowing the lawn that Sunday morning. His story was that he was watching those funny-looking planes fly overhead on the way to bomb his ship. That is his ship, the USS Shaw, a destroyer. If he was there, probably I wouldn't be here. I found the address that I think he lived at in the lawn he was mowing. I haven't been there and knocked on the door yet. My dad's last tour of duty, he was in Supply Corps because his eyes got bad, so he couldn't serve on a ship anymore. So Supply Corps, down New York City, he was on public transportation, 90 minutes to work from upper state New Jersey where we lived, and a day in the office and 90 minutes home every day for 3 years. So thank you, Dad. Your hat doesn't fit me, and I'm sorry I haven't taken care of it very well. This is his captain's hat. It doesn't fit me very well either. With honor, that's my dad's hats. My dad doesn't have a marker. He, at one time, says, flush my ashes down the toilet. No, Dad. We scattered his ashes above his home in Montana. Some years before my mom died, we scattered my mom's ashes. The government came. There was a forest fire. They ran their bulldozers over where my mom's ashes were scattered. As best as we could tell, when we scattered my dad's ashes, we gathered some soil up from my mom's area. After we scattered my dad, had some left, took him to the top of the mountain and scattered him in the four directions at the top of the cliff. If you know where Petty Creek is near Alberton, Montana, the top of the cliff, my parents were scattered up there in the four directions. Anything else on this one? And other family members were in the military. I'm still doing research. Another thing about Memorial Day causes me to pause it. It's not just about those who've done military service and their support of families and communities, but other people who have passed away, who were in our bands, who are our aunts and uncles, cousins, siblings, neighbors, those who are not physically with us anymore, who are above the turf, not above the turf anymore. And I have somewhere I counted later in my poem, I think I'll say the count. 300 years before me, I have a count of how many parents and grandparents it took for me to be here today. Just the lineage that got me here. It's a surprising number. I'm sorry it's not on this slide. But I do have 5,687 people in my tree. Now, many times we just go through life and we're an individual and we see an individual and we talk to the individual and then we move on to the next individual. But I have training and I had, a career working as a social worker, as a family therapist, and I see families and I see connections, I see relationships, I see strings of light between people. And maybe you think that's a little weird. Maybe you think medicine. But, if you change your lens, if you take your lenses off, things look different. If you stand up here, it looks different than down there. If we put our sunglasses on. Things look different. And up here, sunglasses are not a bad idea, just to make a point. So when I see a person, I see more than just an individual. I see their kids, their parents, etc., their spouses and ex-spouses. So, sometimes another person's point of view is hard. It's hard to put ourselves in another person's position, in their shoes. Sometimes if a relationship doesn't work, sometimes it's a really good idea to try to put yourself in the other person's shoes, as I point to my wife. And imagine or hear what it's like to be the person on the other side. Now, I've got about an hour, right, for this talk, Amber? About 20 or 30 minutes for this talk, for the time that we're here. That was my joke I saved for you. If you can, you know, suspend your own point of view and put yourself in my point of view, that we have offspring, even if we don't have children or grandchildren. I do have two sons, age 31 and 32, right? We don't have any grandchildren yet. We may or may not get grandchildren. But we have offspring of our thoughts, feelings, words, and actions. And sometimes you can measure those things. Sometimes it's nothing more than a smile and a hello or a listen to somebody and a tell a joke and a hear a joke and to pretend to laugh. Or sometimes we may make something that we can touch. This is a book I've self-published, Family Hunger, Breathe Life into Your Family History. I've got three new copies in their wrappers right here. There was another time I talked up here, and afterwards there was a comment in the, I was in the on the board at that time, there was a comment. It's like, well, if I knew I was going to have a board member try to sell me their book. Okay. Well, I'm not trying to sell you my book, but I'm saying my book is here if you would like it as a possible way that you might be able to record your own story, write your own book. We are all books, or we are all chapters in the book of life. And it's about 6 by 9 inches, about 1.5 inches thick. There's about 350 pages. And you won't get anything out of it unless you open it. Or go to the library, check it out. You don't have to buy it. Or listen to me, because I'm going to share some things from it. And I'm planting seeds, offsprings, scattering seeds. I think Julie said something about scattering seeds today. There's another reading I might do later. I'm working on my second book. It's called Chasing Headstones, How to Transition into Retirement and Into the Ground, or How to Avoid Both. So I'm working on that second book. I've got, maybe if we get time in the meditation, I'll read you a poem from that book. What I most like to hear is that you've written your book, or you've started your book, or you've gone to your closet and gotten out photographs and wrote on the back names that you had been meaning to, or the dates and times and places. And you know, I'd do the best I could to at least act like I'm interested. I really am interested. Yeah, your stories too. Sometimes it's too much information. Virginia was no. Yes. Bernie's mother-in-law's something. Virginia tried to tell me something. It was just over the top, too much information. I needed to start drawing a family tree, and it was like, too much. Maybe you don't even remember. That's fine. Okay, I'm going to move on now. We have offspring. I'm going to skip over some of these slides too quick. You're welcome for, I've already deleted or hidden some slides. Brian gave me feedback that I've got a little bit too much content. But mostly what I want to get to is we have all kinds of family. We have birth family, we have legal family, and we have chosen family. Birth family can be proven by DNA. Legal family, We have may have a written contract, like with my wife, or my in-laws, my, did you see? So I don't have a legal contract with my in-laws, but through my marriage with my wife, I have relationships, or chosen family. And I have many chosen family. I am in, this is a dangerous thing to hold on to. Huh, was that me? You're my chosen family. I see you here most every week. I've done things with you like put up sheetrock and mud on the sheetrock and painted, or mowed the lawn, or whacked weeds, or talked about whacking weeds, worked on the garden, drove children to camp, watched them grow up, watched them come in the back door and say, who is that monster of a person? We've been attending this church a long time. So Unity Church is a family, a chosen family for me. I have many other circles of friends. They are chosen family. And sometimes chosen family can be longer lasting, deeper, more intimate, and more safe than our legal family or our birth family. And sometimes those people can be our chosen family and legal family. All right. Click, click, click. I went to Alaska last fall. I found this rock beside the river, caught my attention. I took a picture to the path less traveled. I liked it, so I'm just throwing some slides in, some pictures. But there's a framework I learned when I went to graduate school for social work. What, so what, now what? So when I'm talking about, what am I talking about? What is he talking about? What is lineage? What is genealogy about? And sometimes without a connection, we may feel alienated. We may feel a lack of purpose. We may feel frustration. We may feel hopelessness. We may feel a lack of belonging. And I know that sometimes when there are some circles I haven't been to for a while and I come back, I feel a little bit out of place. And if I come more regularly, I feel more in place. So regular attendance helped me with that need I have. So what? What does it mean? You know, sometimes we may, what does it matter whether connected with our lineage or not, or connected with other human beings or not? But we may even have physical symptoms if we're alone and alienated enough. We may not have a lack of purpose. In relationships and family and community, I find purpose. Now what? Now what are we going to do about it? Is there a remedy? Yes. Say hello, turn around, say hello when you leave. What are you doing next week? What are you doing tomorrow? Not only here and now, but across town, across the world, across time, and across the universe. And what can we do about it? We notice, we honor, we respect. Maybe we record our own story, the story of other people, researching our ancestors, and be conscious about leaving nuggets behind for our descendants, not only our birth descendants, but people that we may have an impact on. You know, leave good compost behind. That was a joke. All right, connection here now over time. One of my readings from Family Hunger, I took a trip to Nebraska, small town Nebraska, Holbrook, Nebraska, where my father was born. I think there were five children in his family. My grandpa, I never met. My grandma, I did remember that grandmother, Stella McCool Neal, sweet little woman, chocolate chip cookies, all kinds of sweet things. But I'm standing there, I forget what year, so I wrote this little bit in this book, Family Hunger, Life, Essential, and Spacing. Okay, I'm in the middle of the plains of Nebraska. Corn, wind blowing, flat. I had never met any of these people buried here. For one of them, my grandfather, it was essential for him to have lived and passed on his genetics for me to have a heartbeat. For another of them, Beth, it was essential for her to have died and to get out of the way for me to be standing here. She was a placekeeper. She was my dad's first wife. If she hadn't kept my dad available and then died at the right time, my dad wouldn't have met my mom and gotten married and given birth to 3 children, including me, and raised the 4th adopted child, vital to my vital development and identity. Beth was part of the lessons about family for my dad. For my Uncle Floyd, who had a marker there, he died at about 15 years of age. It wasn't essential for him to have lived for me to be standing here, but his life story certainly added color to our family tree. I think the school janitor threw a basketball at him, hit him in the stomach. Small town, doctor was in the next town. Internal bleeding, they didn't know what it was. He died before the next morning. And the janitor who threw the basketball was a Strickland, and Stricklands later married Niels, and so these families that had these things going back and forth. Some of the Strickland markers were there in that cemetery as well. Standing in front of these grave markers, I feel like Mary's going to have a little sigh. Man up. Man up. Quit crying.
Man up and cry.
Okay. Like she said, I feel like I'm stepping into a time machine, providing a real spiritual and physical connection. I imagine strings of light following our paths through the histories of our lives. Back down the highway I came from today, coming full circle to our conception and births, through all the complicated relationships and stories, back to this moment to be standing here now at my grandfather's grave. Is there any genetic material in the ground that would prove we're related? I have no doubts. I kneel down. And touch each of the Neil headstones. That's my name. I say, hi, Grandpa, and feel sad, not remembering any direct experience with any grandfathers of mine, but I still feel a loss. Spacing. Have you ever heard of the space-time continuum from Albert Einstein and others? Have you ever been on a narrow highway, driving the exact speed limit in the right-hand lane, and you're approaching another driver going the same direction, who is driving 1 or 2 miles per hour under the speed limit, and you can't get around them, and you want to yell, hey, you're in my space-time continuum, get out of the way. Or have you experienced this one? Hey, when are you going to get out of the bathroom? You're in my space-time continuum. Some of my relatives that I shared DNA with had to be in each other's space-time continuum and have relationships with perfect timing for the miracle of biology to happen if I was going to be standing here now. Now that's something to ponder. Social psychologists call this proximity. For there to be a relationship, people have to be in close proximity to each other in each other's space-time continuum, at the same crossroads at the same time, plus a few other details for the miracle of life. I was going to make some jokes about it. Is there any biology happening here today? Going to move on. Where's that clicker? Now what? What are you going to do with what you heard today? I'm missing something? I don't think so. I got it. Am I missing something? Ah, that's so clever, Brian. I'm going to go to the cemetery and place flowers at my parents' and great-grandparents' markers in Spokane tomorrow. 1 year I went, I got there at the right time, there was a veterans' breakfast, and then there was a veterans' march, and the oval. I don't know if you know those cemeteries. It's a military oval. And there was a military parade around me at my grandparents' headstone marker. It was really something. And I'm going to work on my genogram and look at why FamilySearch.org says I'm related to Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And I'll update my tree on Ancestry.com before my subscription runs out. What are you going to do? So the summary of my key points is remember, honor and respect, and leave behind good compost. And after something from Julie, then I'm gonna do a closing prayer. Yes, I am. Because, come on. The Lord's Prayer. So we honor our other past. This is a variation of the traditional Christian Lord's Prayer. This is a translation of the Aramaic version of the Lord's Prayer, translated by Moshe Samuel Lewis from the Dances of Universal Peace tradition. It's on a Mark Stanton Welch CD called Riding the Sound Current. Check the copyright thing. How'd I do? O thou, instead of our Father who art in heaven, O thou from whom comes the breath of life, which is present in all realms of vibration and light. Let thy light and sound be experienced in my own holy of holies. Let the I can of the cosmos come to pass through us. Let your desire be, as in the all that vibrates, so also in the most dense and material. Give us understanding and support for our needs from day to day. Loose the cords of mistakes, binding us as we release the strands we hold of others' faults. Do not let surface things delude us, but free us from what holds us back from our true purpose. For to you, in you, belongs the ruling ideas and principles, the life force to accomplish them, and the song that adds glory to all. From each gathering to the next, I affirm this with my whole being.
There is only love.
a walk in the desert. I invite you to take a deep breath in. I'm camping out by Sedona, Arizona. As I step outside, I draw in a deep gulp of fresh desert. Cool, dry air, deep into my lungs, deep into my soul. O thou from whom comes the breath of life, thank you, thank you, thank you. Good morning, I shout as I greet the new day. Too early to say, hello, sunshine. There are still a few stars left over. Back into my still warm bed. I didn't quite leap out the first time. But after the heater warmed the camper, After my retreat, I leave the cocoon of my sleeping bag and I sip my first cup of hot coffee. Then I do rush off into the morning at old man speed. I take in the novel flora of juniper, creosote, cactus, and other unknown vegetation. And smells are freshly new in my nose and lungs. A step, a thought, another step, a phrase, another step, pause. Now go slow. The more familiar fauna, birds, coyote, cows, are they watching me, smelling me, listening to me? It's so quiet. Is there an audience unseen, like for this poem? It's still before sunrise as I walk up the wash. What powerful forces made this back and forth path? I am grateful for these bones in these legs, these straight legs, and these achy, knobby knees, lifting me up. This wobbly path, another step, a word, another step, a phrase, another step, pause. Now go slower. I am walking on the bones of my grandfathers and my grandmothers and even those other relatives unknown. I practice naming them John William, William Frank, John Robinson, Hiram Stivers, Samuel, John, John, immigrant from Scotland, all with my same last name. These magical bones, over these rounded stones, who will outlast the other? Hey, stones, do you remember your ancestors? I do. I'm so grateful for all of my ancestors, 5,687 in my tree at last county, many non-essential, colorful. Gratitude as I listen to the heartbeat in my ears. For 10 generations of parents and grandparents and more, 2,046 parents and grandparents over the last 300 years, vital and essential for me to be here. An eternal gratitude for all my descendants, both of you. I'm sorry if it ever seems I take you for granted. Thank you, boys. Now get to work. The nose, the lungs, the legs, and other parts. Twisted DNA like this twisted path. Step. Silence. Step. Silence. 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 These bones are just borrowed for a short time. Another step, another thought, silence, empty, empty, empty. Remember, remember. Remember. Vital ancestors, vital breath, vital heartbeat. Absolutely vital for me to be.
I remember. sing, I remember all the harvests of the field, fruits of love that lie in waiting, all the bounty now revealed. I remember this, my friend. Song.